You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
Well, we'll go ahead and get started. A few people might trickle in here in a bit, but I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Amber Komatsu, and I serve as the Membership Services Coordinator here at ACBC. And it's so exciting to have you here. I would say, I always tell people that my favorite part of every annual conference is our new membership ceremony, where I get to see people who I have their email addresses memorized, but not necessarily faces. And this is my second favorite, to really get to see people that are maybe interested in the process or are in process. And it's a little more personal than, you know, an email all day long. So thank you so much for joining us. And I'm just curious, how, who's traveled the farthest? Yes? You know what? I don't have a microphone. I'll try to project more. My husband's better at projecting, but I'll try. Is that a little better? Okay, thank you. That's good to know. Because if you can't hear me, I'm not going to be very helpful for you. So anyways, who has traveled the farthest? I'm just very curious to see anyone. 250 miles.
250 miles? Sacramento.
Sacramento? Anyone further than Sacramento? Sacramento? Okay, Canada. That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I'd really love to just kind of even talk about where ACBC is at as an organization. It's kind of helpful to have the context for who ACBC is and where we are and what are we doing and that type of thing. And if anyone in the back, if I start lowering my volume, let me know. Just raise your hand and go like this if I'm not speaking loud enough. So let's kind of start. I'm going to go through, just to kind of give an overview of what we're going to do. We will go through a PowerPoint just to kind of, I'm a very visual learner. So when I'm learning a process, I like to see it on the screen and hear it. I'm not very good at just hearing something. So we'll kind of go through the process this way, and then I'll have a time of Q&A. I'd love to just, if you have any questions about things, even detailed questions like, I don't know what this exam is about, what the formatting thing, you know, let me know. I'd love to do that. And so I will go through this PowerPoint, and then we'll have a time of Q&A afterwards just to allow you guys to ask questions. So let's get started. So as some of you are maybe in the membership meeting, but Dr. Lambert announced that we have 1,802 counselors, hence the plus sign on there. Just over 1,800. It's really been astounding. The last 5 years, I did some research in the past couple months because our membership has just been exploding. And I wanted to see, you know, what's the overall increase in a five-year period? And we've grown by 60%. So it's pretty incredible. We knew we were growing because we've had to hire more staff, and we've had to just update our systems. The way we even keep records was becoming outdated. We weren't able to keep up with everyone. And so we've actually grown by 60% in a five-year period, which is pretty incredible growth to see those numbers. So now we're up to 1,802 counselors as of 24 hours ago, which is very, very exciting. Dr. Lambert is really hoping, and now Dr. Dale Johnson, we're trying to hit 2,500 members by 2025. And the one thing we don't want to do is to increase our numbers while decreasing our quality. So we've also been really kind of strengthening our standards and making things clearer and strengthening our training where if we see any weaknesses, that type of thing. So the incredible thing is every single year we've really clarified guiding documents, strengthened our training, and we've still grown by 60%, which is very encouraging. It'd be discouraging if we were only growing in numbers, but we weren't convictional, but that's not what has been happening. So that's just exciting to see that. I think that due to the Lord's kindness, we will probably hit 2,500 members by 2024, so about a year ahead of schedule, which is really incredible. We have counselors in 33 countries and counting. We even have counselors in a few countries that are not listed here because they are closed countries, and so it's just incredible to honestly even see the biblical counseling movement kind of go underground in certain countries, really, really incredible to see that happening. We have 67 training centers. As of 2 days ago, we just brought in 2 new training centers in the U.S. and then 1 international training center in South Africa. I'm aware of a few other international training centers coming soon, potentially. There's one in, I think, Quito, Ecuador, also in Berlin, and also in, I think, Brazil, that could be coming in the next 2 to 3 years, which is really incredible. We've kind of seen an explosion of interest in biblical counseling overseas, which is just very exciting as well. So that's kind of a brief overview of where we are today, numbers and kind of that type of thing, where our counselors are serving. Ways to keep in touch with ACBC. If anyone has the ACBC app, it's a really incredible resource. It's free. You can find it in any app store if you use Android or iPhone. And you can access the Truth and Love Weekly podcast on there. So every Monday morning, formerly Dr. Lambert and now Dr. Johnson, release a new podcast. And it's usually 10 to 15 minutes long, very practical. Helps. We receive in questions and he'll deal with question answers on there. I'm just curious, is anyone a regular listener to the app? Oh, we have 3 or 4. Okay, that's great. So you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Truth and Love podcast. So that's a really great resource that's free and you can keep up with what we're doing. We also have a free monthly resource that we release via our app as well. So normally content that would cost money in our store, we release 1 free lecture a month on our app. Typically it's the 1st or 2nd of the month, whatever Monday is, if it's a, you know, not a weekday. And so that's also a great way of keeping up with this. We just will put it in there and it's for free that month. And then once the month is done, we'll insert a new product into there for you to download for free. Our website also, biblicalcounseling.com. I think my husband, Trevor, told people to donate to acbc.com. Don't do that. It's a shoe company. You won't find us if you go to acbc.com. You'll find shoes, which I'm sure they're great shoes. But it's not us. It's also not tax deductible. No, biblicalcounseling.com. We were teasing him about that pretty extensively. So our website is a great resource. You can find our blog on there. We update that about 2 to 3 times a week. We also have ACBC essays, and they are academic-style essays. And we actually had a donor, very kind, fund that entire project last year. And they are made available for free online. And they are larger essays. They are in PDF files that you can download. You could read it online. I hate reading stuff online. I'd much rather print it off and mark it up as I'm reading it. So those are online as well. Highly recommend those. And of course, our store where you can purchase resources as well is online. Also follow us on Twitter. It is at ACBC on Twitter. That's not the shoe company. and then also on Facebook as well. If you like us on Facebook, you'll get updates from our Facebook profile on there. And then if you follow us on Twitter as well, we also put updates on Twitter as well. So there's just a few ways to kind of keep updated with the organization. So now I'm going to move into just talking about the ACBC certification process. And we realize it can just be overwhelming. You go online and it's like phase 1 and 2 and 3, and well, that's not helpful. Those are just numbers. You know, what is that? So let's do a brief overview. And before we go into the brief overview, I do want to draw your attention to a new free program we have online. It's called Pathway Through Certification. And this was developed last year, so it's brand new. We actually released it in April, so it's not even a year old. And it's a program we realized, you know, a lot of people are in phase 1, you know, you're doing readings, you're doing observations, maybe you're attending a training, and you're kind of on your own. The process is interesting because phase 1 can really be done on your own, and it's designed that way so that people can do it at their own pace, you know, where they are. But we also found that, my goodness, sometimes, and it's totally fine, people would take 2 or 3 years to work through phase 1 and those exams in phase 2, and we wouldn't find out about anyone until the very end of phase 2. Well, there are a lot of questions that come up before you get to the end of those exams, you know? And so we thought, well, how do we connect with people earlier and just kind of be there to encourage and guide through the process, and pathway through certification is really the answer that we've come up with for now. It's a free program. You go in and you'll just need an email address and first name, last name, and we'll give you a code and you can enroll in it, and it will walk you through all of phase one. So it'll show you how to find a basic training track near you. What are the best ways of doing that? It will show you, you know, this is the log that you'll need for those observation hours. Here is the reading list. You know, make sure you're doing X amount of reading here and that type of thing. Once you finish phase one, then phase two will open up for you. So it's kind of locked until you finish the phases, because we do want the phases completed before moving on to the next one. Phase two, I think this is my very favorite part of the whole thing, is basically a step-by-step exam looking at each question on the exams. So last year we video recorded many of our fellows and we asked them, give anybody who's in process kind of helpful tips on answering these questions. So we don't give the answers on there, but we do have each fellow say, hey, these books here are really helpful for this question. And on this question here, pay careful attention to this part of it. So that's a really helpful resource. And because a lot of people, you know, you might be the only one working on certification in your church. And it can be a really daunting thing to look at these exams and realize, oh my goodness, you know, I haven't written a paper in 20 years and this is a lot of work, you know. And it is a lot of work, but we really wanted to kind of grease the skids per se and really kind of help give you resources to consult without giving you the answer, obviously. But I would highly recommend, if you're anywhere in phase one, and definitely if you're in phase two working on those exams, enroll in this free program. Everything I go over today is also in Pathway, but it's helpful, I think, to kind of go over it in person and then enroll in Pathway and then walk through it yourself as well. And it kind of acts as like a checklist, I think, too. I'm kind of a weirdo when it comes to to-do lists. I love lists. And so I'll make a list and get things done and then do something else and add it just so I can cross it off. And so Pathway really kind of acts like that. It really kind of helps you track where you are in process. Because once you complete a section, it shows it as completed. And my favorite part, it'll even say something like, you know, 27.5% done, you know. So any percentage done is helpful. So it'll kind of mark that for you. So I highly recommend logging on to there. So you can follow it, this website here, but if you also just go to our website and at the top, you'll see a certification button, hover over that and Pathway will pop down. And then you can just find it that way as well. So enroll in Pathway. It really is. It's much more helpful even than I will be for you today. So we have three phases of the certification process. We are very creative here at ACBC, and we've titled them Phase 1, Phase 2, and Phase 3. And the first one is the training phase. The second phase are the exams and application phase. The third phase is where you will complete supervised counseling. So let's start with Phase 1. So Phase 1 has three elements. So first phase, three different parts of the first phase. The first element in phase one is the instruction portion. And this is where we will want you to take a basic training course at an ACBC certified training center. And included in this basic training course, it's 30 hours or more of basic instruction in theology and biblical counseling. That and more part, every training center has been carefully vetted to make sure that they have our core curriculum that they are teaching in their basic training. Some of our training centers might have medical staff, or they might have an area that they've really developed advanced content, and they're allowed to add in advanced content. But every basic training course is at a minimum 30 hours long. Also, this is helpful to know. Some training centers call the basic training course different things. So if you're familiar with Faith Lafayette, so Faith Biblical Counseling Training, excellent training center, it's actually one of our oldest training centers, they call it Track 1. So Track 1 at Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries up in Lafayette, Indiana, is the basic training course. Some training centers call it the basic training course, which is helpful. And then we actually call it something different. We call it a fundamentals track. You know, so there are kind of three different ways of talking about the same thing. Someday I'm going to get everyone on the same page so we can simplify it. But right now there's three different ways: basic training course, track one, fundamentals course, all the same thing. So that's helpful to know. If you want to look for a training center in your area, you can go to biblicalcounseling.com/centers and pull up a map that shows you where training centers are. And I would have to say, and there's more ways to get the basic training, I'll get to those in a second, but I just have to say that if you have a training center near you, really try to take the training there. It's incredible to get connected with a center that's already in your area and meet up with like-minded individuals. I really think that's the best way of learning. It's just better to be in person, meeting people in your community that are also going through the training, and it just, you know, can help your morale too. Once you get to those exams, pathway can be helpful, but it's really great if you can meet with individuals in your community that are also working on those exams, that type of thing. So the training centers are incredible, and it is the very best way to kind of get that training. Go ahead. Sure. So the question is, do the training centers track hours? So right now, the way that we kind of know you've taken the basic training, we're trusting every applicant. Every applicant needs to let us know, these are the dates I took the basic training, these are the instructors I took it with, this is the training center I took it from. So right now, we're trusting our applicants. I think in the future, we are going to have a voucher system in place that the training centers will send us lists of people, that type of thing. For right now, I haven't figured out the best way to do that yet. For right now, we're trusting everyone that comes to us to kind of give us correct information on dates they took the training, that type of thing. That's a good question, though. So first and best way, honestly, to get that basic training, find a training center near you, if at all possible. There are 67 training centers, but we also realize that's not that many. So another way of getting this basic training course is to take the fundamentals track at an ACBC CDT, or Counseling and Discipleship Training. Acronyms, there's so many acronyms, so I try to not use acronyms that much, but they're helpful. So we call them ACBC CDTs. And this fall, coming up, I think we had to cancel our first weekend in Virginia Beach because of the hurricane, which is kind of crazy. So Virginia Beach, Virginia starts up, I think, in 2 weeks from now, and then Laguna Hills, California, later on this fall. And then in the spring of 2019, we'll be in Houston, Texas. Anyone from Houston here? Okay, great, that's wonderful. We'll be in Houston, and then Huntsville, Alabama, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So we really try to find locations that either don't have any training centers at all. One of the purposes of CDTs is to go to a church in the hopes that they will become a training center within about 2 to 3 years of us being there, and trying to get certified counselors in that area, and then they can start teaching training. And then the second one, you know, Houston, I think we have one training center there, but it's a college, and it's a great training center, but we really also want to have churches become training centers. Not everyone is able to enroll in a 4-year college degree, but going to a church and taking it from a church is a little more attainable. And Houston also is massive. I didn't realize how big Dallas was. It's massive. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, so a lot smaller. Go ahead back here.
So is this a 1-week course?
Good question. It's actually a 3-weekend. So we have some training centers that have 1-week courses. So Faith, I mentioned them. They have a 1-week intensive. It's like 50 hours, more than a full-time job. Our trainings are on 3 weekends, so they are helpful for people that work full-time jobs, that type of thing. I think they start at maybe 6 in the evening on a Friday and extend to about 4 or 5 on a Saturday. So you're getting 10 hours, 3 weekends, and typically it's like March, April, May, or corresponding, you know, 3 months in a row in the fall. So that's the makeup of our ACBC CDTs that we do. The third way to kind of get the basic training, and I'll say this, my second favorite way of getting the basic training is the CDT. It's not as good, I would honestly say. It sounds funny coming from an ACBC staff member, but it's not as good because we're not in the community permanently. You know, we come in, we do the training, and then we have to leave. The training centers are there, you know. I would say the third way you can get training, which counts for the training. It's probably my least favorite because you're not in person with people, you can't interact and ask questions and meet other students, but is the online training. It is very helpful if you have a limited schedule, you're not able to travel, that type of thing. You can get it online. We have, I think, 4 or 5 of our ACBC certified training centers that have online training. And so if you go to our website, that's a really funny website title there, and it's very tiny. But if you go to our website and click on certification and then pop down phase 1, we will list on there the training centers that have online trainings available. So go and check that out. That's very helpful. It's great they make that available for people that aren't able to travel or just don't have CDTs or training centers near them. ACBC does have an online training that we put on. It's only 2x a year. So we do it in the spring and we also do it in the summer. And so you just be, if you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, we always put notifications out. And if you're on our email list as well, we'll send you emails about that. But we do have an online course that is available. It's not available at all times during the year. It's only available in the spring and the summer. And it's a 10-week course. So it opens up and you are able to access 3 hours of content every week in a row. And it kind of goes for 10 weeks. So that's 30 hours of content. So you can get the basic training at a training center. You can get it at an ACBC CDT, a 3-weekend event, or you can get it online. There are about 4 or 5, like I said, training centers online you can look at, or the ACBC training in the spring or the summer. So that's the first element of phase 1. The second element in phase 1, this is where we will want you to complete observation hours of an ACBC certified counselor. So you'll need to get 10 hours or more of observing an ACBC certified counselor in person, or you can observe a DVD set as well. There are a couple DVD sets available, and it's so funny, DVD is now outdated. It was a new thing 10 years ago, and now it's an old thing. We have 2 training centers that have sets available, and now they're streamed online. I don't even know if you can buy DVDs. But those are ibcd.com. I think it's .com. Is it .com? Does anyone know? Or it could be .org. Oh, okay. I think you're right. Check out ibcd.org. That's the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. They have, I think, about 14 hours of recorded counseling. So you can kind of pick and choose different cases that you want to watch. And then also Faith Ministries up in Lafayette, Indiana, they also have those available as well. And you're right. The Biblical Counseling Center in Arlington, they also have them as well. I think it's BCC. Do you know the website for them? Okay. It's like biblical counseling, biblicalcounselingcenter.com. Okay, org. A lot of them are org, yeah. So those count for those observation hours. Now, again, I would say the best way to get those hours is in person. There's just a whole lot that you can see in the counseling room and even kind of go over with the counselor after you're done that I think is very, very helpful. So if you have a counselor near you, I think that's the best way. And it's not weird if you email them, if you find them online and say, hey, I'm in phase 1 getting my observation hours. Every single ACBC counselor has done this. They've had to do it before. So they're not weirded out when they get an email from someone. So just so you know that, don't be afraid to email them and say, hey, can I come observe you? Sometimes our counselors just don't have any cases that it would work to have someone else in the room, but sometimes they do. And that really, I think, is the best way, you know, of getting these hours in. One thing I always tell people, when you're doing these observation hours in phase 1, download the observation log that's online, and you can really just kind of keep track of that as you're going. And that's another, I think, reason I like it. I like to see things getting done. So I like to see progress. And Pathway Through Certification, if you enroll in that, it will have a link to the form, and you can download that right at the beginning and kind of track as you go. It's an online form. Okay. So it's a fillable PDF. Yep, so you just download it and fill it out online and just save it as you go, and that's great. So that's the second element of phase 1, the 10 observation hours. And just so you know, we will have a more extended time of Q&A. I'll make sure we have time for that. Okay. Third element in phase one, this is the reading requirement. We do want you to complete 1,000 pages or more from the approved reading list that's online. 300 of those pages need to be from the biblical counseling and theology portion of that list. So sometimes that's a little easy to miss. 1,000 pages total, 300 pages from the theological portion of that. And just a heads up, so I would say, the question always comes, you know, what are the best books for the exams? So I would say, for one, definitely get a good systematic theology for your theology exam. That will be so, so helpful. Any reading you do in that systematic is going to help you immensely on the theology exam. So get a good systematic. But the other book that's very helpful, A Theology of Christian Counseling by Jay Adams. That's about 326 pages. So it gets you up above that 300 level, you know, page numbers. And then another one, A Theology of Biblical Counseling by Heath Lambert. And that came out, I think, 4 years ago or something. I'm not exactly sure. 2016. That's also a very good book. And I think it's also like 336 pages. It's so funny. Yeah, A Theology of Biblical Counseling. So A Theology of Christian Counseling and A Theology of Biblical Counseling. Both excellent books. Highly recommend both. If you read only one, it gets you up above that 300 level. So that's just kind of a helpful tidbit. Again, you can record your reading. The observation log and the reading log are on the same document. So you can download that document, fill them out as you go, and that'll save you time once you get to the application portion at the end of phase two. So the question is, are we going to add any books? So we do occasionally. We've been adding so many, though, that we're having to kind of almost rethink the way we do the approved reading list. So we're kind of thinking, you know, and I like to tell people, the approved reading list, it's not the ceiling for really good books. I would say it's a foundation. It's by no means the ceiling. So I would say, these books are incredible. Read them if you can. And there are so many books, honestly, that are even coming out yearly that are incredible. And so if we keep adding to it, we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we, you know, help people get the foundation, the books they have to read, you know, and then we want to recommend so many more. So I think it's helpful to think this is a foundation. It's not the ceiling. There are a ton more that are excellent that just don't happen to be on there right now. But that's a good question. So that's the third element in phase one. And a kind of a quick word before we get into depth about phase two here. The phases have to be completed in order. So all of phase one needs to be completed before phase two, all of phase two before phase three. But the elements in phase one, you can do those however you like. If you want to work on your reading first and then attend a basic training and then do observation, or do it all at the same time, you can do that as well. It doesn't matter how you complete those. You can kind of mix up the order of those. But the phases need to be done in order. The elements in phase one, any way you want to do them is fine. The other thing I will mention at this point, because I always like to make this clear, there is a time limit on the acceptability of the basic training in phase one, counting for the application at the end of phase two. So the basic training course, let's say, and I'm horrible at math, so let's see if this works. let's say, so if you completed the basic training this year, so we're in 2018, right? Yes. Okay, I just had a baby, so baby brain is a real thing. We're in 2018, so if you take the basic training this year, you will have until December 31st, of 2022 to submit your exams and everything at the end of phase two. So there's a four-year time limit. So that's, I think, a pretty generous amount of time if you go into it with a mindset, I took the basic training, now I have 4 years. You know, sometimes it's hard because someone took the basic training and life just gets crazy and busy, and then you come back to it and then you're 5 years later and you have to redo those 30 hours, you know. So I would just keep that in mind. Go ahead.
So when I took Laguna Hills training last fall,
yeah,
one of the benefits was that they sent me links to download all the audio tracks that I did. And so I have I can re-listen. I have my workbook, all my notes, so it comes alive again. So that's a benefit. Maybe some of the other ones do that as well.
Yes, that's excellent. When I repeat a question, I'm doing it for the recording. but yeah, that's great. So individual took a training. The training center gave her all the content, which is incredible. And keep that on file, because if you can't apply until 5 years later, you can review that content and that counts as a refresher. All we want to know is that that content from phase one is fresh on your mind once you're headed into phase three and you're doing your counseling. So that is incredible. And that's great. Keep that content on hand, and it'll come in handy too when you're actually counseling in phase three. It's incredible the things you want to refer back to in your training as you're actually doing your counseling. So just keep that in mind. 4-year time limit. It's not by the day, month, it's by the year. So it's always just the end of that year, December 31st of that year. So it's a 4-year deal. The reading and the observation hours don't expire. So if you do those readings, if you've read those books even 5 years ago, they count. That's fine. I would say, you know, if you look at that list and go, oh, I read these books 20 years ago, I'm fine. And some of the books are that old. That's fine. It counts for certification, but I would say it would be good to read more current work then, even if you have met that number. Try to be reading into the current stuff that's come out. And that's just a good discipline, you know, to kind of keep up with current works coming out as well. And those observation hours, like I said, those don't expire either. So if you did observation, I had an applicant, they came from an ACBC certified training center and they did like 20 hours of observation 6 years ago, and that's fine. Those hours all still count. So the basic training is what has that time limit attached to it. So just kind of keep that in mind. So let's go on to the exams. And this is the part where when you have everything done in phase one, readings done, observations are done, basic training course is done, then you'll start in on your exams. And there are two of them. There's a theology exam and a counselor's exam. And they are open book essay style. So they are written exams, which some of you love and some of you hate. but it's helpful to know they are open book. And so use your Bible, use books that you've read, that type of thing. It does need to be original work. So if you find a writing buddy and you guys can research the content together, that's totally fine. Just make sure that you guys are writing your own questions separately, answers, not questions, and that will be fine. It is a one-page minimum, so the graders do want to see that you really understand the questions being asked and know how to answer it, but they also want to see that you can be concise. It's a 1.5 pages max. So I think I had a seminary student once send in an exam that was like 100 pages long. Don't do that. I was like, why would you torture? so 1 page minimum on that answer, and then a 1.5 pages max. And so the graders know that you can't be completely exhaustive in these answers. So don't worry if you're like, oh my goodness, there's so much I can talk about. The graders understand that. Really, one of the reasons for this is to make sure you have a limited amount of time, you know, in that counseling room, and you want to be concise and clear and faithful in that. And yeah, question here. Good question. So the question's about format. So we do have a distinct format we want to receive the exams in, and we had an individual who loves making Word templates send us, they went through and kind of put in all the technical specs and send us a template. And they said we could give that to everyone. So it's online. So if you like doing technical stuff like that, that's great. All the guidelines are online on our exams website. But there's also a template that you can just download and you can start typing into, and it has all the spacing there and the correct font, and it's 1.5 spacing and it's all there. So that's very helpful. So I would highly recommend those templates. Very, very helpful. Question over here, and then I'll wait till the end to get to more questions.
Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing I will say, there are kind of three different grades you can get on these exams, and then I'll kind of go into why I see rewrites sometimes. So there's three different grades. It's a pass, kind of a pass-fail grading system, and I'll get into that fail part. Nobody freak out yet. So basically, what the grader will do is they'll go through and grade everything. There's three outcomes that you could get. One is a pass. I would say maybe 20% pass on the first time through. Passing on the first time through is rare, but it does happen. now,
I've heard that before.
Now, let me explain what the other option is. I always get a chuckle and real big eyes at that point in the talk. The second one that I see most often, and this is not a bad thing at all, it's called a rewrite. Rewrite does not mean rewriting the entire exam. Typically, it'll mean the grader will see a question that'll say, hey, this is on the right track, but you need to just use scripture to support what you're saying here, you know? So they'll just want to see you support your argument with scripture. Or they'll see a question and say, that's a great question. It's just, there's a little bit more they could do. I'm going to give them like a resource online that could help them just kind of complete that question, that answer, and just make it even more complete and full orbed, that type of thing. So I always tell people, think of the grading process as really an extension of phase one. It's still a training phase. The exams are not like, oh, nobody's getting in, that type of thing. It really is further training. Our graders are incredible teachers. We have men and women who grade exams, and they are just teachers at heart. It's incredible for me to kind of see these exams come back and they'll say, hey, you're on the right track here. Let's just look at maybe an additional thing here and kind of tweak this here, that type of thing. So rewrites are not the entire exam. Typically, it's just strengthening the answers you already have, that type of thing. The third kind of grade you could get, and this is very rare. I've seen it maybe three times in 5 years. But I do just want to mention it. It's called a fatal error. That's a horrible name for it. Gosh, it just sounds like fatal. Why? I don't even know where this term came from, y'all. It just was here when I got here. I should change it. But essentially, it's when maybe someone wasn't aware of our theological guidelines or our standards of conduct. So for example, we had an individual come through and they had a modalistic view of God. So that doesn't work. So it's helpful. I always tell individuals, just read carefully through our, you know, standards of conduct, standards of doctrine. You're going to be fine. If you're in agreement with them, no fatal error. So that's just helpful to know. But their grading process, I tell people, look at these graders as they're just further teachers coming alongside to teach you. It's not like a, we're trying to keep people out. It's a, we're trying to help people be even more faithful than they are, you know? And so it's just really is an incredible process, that exam grading process. So, download those, the templates I talked about. They're so helpful. Download those. The one other thing I can say that, I think one of the reasons I see people get rewrites is that they give a true answer for something, but they're not backing it up with scripture. And so in the counseling room, the only authority we are standing on is the Word of God. That's it. It's not our own opinions or our experiences. It's the Word. And so make sure that every single question on your exam, you're backing it up with scripture. You're showing the grader, this is where I'm getting this. This is where I see it in the Word, and that sort of thing. If you don't use scripture, the grader will say, hey, this is great, but you need to authoritatively show in the Bible where this authority is coming from. So just make sure you have verse references on all of those. I'm going to skip here to the end and we'll do Q&A right after that. And the next thing, so once you get your exams done, and I would say this, do theology exam first, then counselors. A lot of the questions on the counselor exam really are helped by completing that theology exam first. So the theology exam really becomes a foundation that you build your counselor's exam off of. So I always say it's helpful, start theology first, start and complete, and then do counselors. Once you have those exams completely done, at that point, you're going to submit an online application. So we used to intake paper applications, and there were like 20 pieces that would come in for every paper application. Now we're getting about an application and completed exams daily at this point. So we can only take them electronically at this point. And it's all online. If you enroll in Pathway, it'll walk you through that application process. If you're already working on your exams, you're in here, you can just go online and click on phase two and it'll have instructions for the application process. There are some things we want to receive during that time. We need an evaluation from your elder to come in. It's just a very simple form. You'll email him and he'll send to us a letter from your church that verifies you're a member in good standing and that you're under their spiritual authority. And then also an evaluation from a colleague. So this could be a friend or a fellow church member, someone like that. And then there's some biographical information we'll want, the application that shows where you got your basic training, so these types of things. There is a $100 fee once you get to this point. That we'll need to receive, and we send this directly to the grader, whoever works on your exams. We receive $100 for the application fee, and that $100 goes right to our graders to work on those exams. Because once you're done with them, the exams are about 40 to 60 pages long, that type of thing. And so once that's done, you'll submit all of your exams, all of your application. It'll come in, and then we'll communicate to you when we receive it back from a grader. Let's see here. And I would say the very most fun day for me is when I get to send people the email that says you have passed your exams. If you haven't passed them on the first time through, that's totally fine. I'll give you just instructions on how do you just kind of answer those rewrites, and the grader will usually give his cell phone number and his email and basically say, if you have any questions, just give me a call, something like that. They're very, very helpful. And so once they actually pass, though, once we get through the grading process, once your exams have passed, then we will move on to phase three. This is the point where I'll send you more information on how do you find a supervising fellow. At this point in our organization, you can still kind of select a fellow to work with. Some individuals know several fellows they want to work with, but if you don't know any, that's okay. I'll send you a list of ones that are available to work with. In the future, we might start trying to maybe assign some fellows. If we see, oh, this individual's in this area, this fellow's open, this would be a great fit. Right now, we're trying to figure out administratively how do we assign a fellow, because I think that would be helpful to kind of cater, you know, to each individual. Right now, it's a matter of we send you a list of fellows that are available, and you can email them to ask them to supervise you at that point. So that's kind of how the fellow selection process works. Once you're in phase three, you'll need to complete 50 sessions of supervised counseling with an ACBC fellow. Now, it's helpful to remember 50 sessions and not 50 hours. So you could do, you know, some beginning sessions with someone, could go for an hour and a half. If you're spending a lot of time listening to them and doing a lot of data gathering, that might be a little bit of a longer first session, but it still only counts as one session. So sometimes when I say 50 sessions, people start going, oh my goodness, that's a lot of counseling. And it does need to be done in 1 year. But I always like to encourage individuals and say, if you think about it, 50 sessions in 1 year, that's one session a week and 2 weeks off. You even get a break. You get Christmas week off and Easter week off or something like that. So that's helpful to kind of know you have a whole year to get 50 sessions done. I ran some stats a few years ago. I wanted to see how many individuals finish within a year, and it's 85% of people that start finish well within that year, and we do have extensions. If you just realize, you know, I'm just not able to do that in 1 year, that's okay. You can contact the ACBC office, and we will help you get an extension with your fellow, and that's not hard at all, and that's totally fine. As you're doing these sessions, there's a few technical requirements. Again, this is all in Pathway, so I know this is like a fire hydrant of information, but it's all online too. We will need to have 5 of these sessions audio recorded. So you obviously have to ask permission from your counselee to audio record them. Any smartphone has an audio record feature. It's very easy. And the fellows like to really kind of have those recordings typically about 2 or 3 sessions in the very beginning of your supervision experience, and then maybe 2 or 3 at the very end. So it's one thing, you know, to read a case report form, and I'll get into that a little bit, but the fellow can read a case report form and see that somebody is giving truth, but it's easier to see if truth is being given in love by hearing it and hearing the tone and really kind of understanding how is this counselor really working with this counselee, and the fellows really like to hear those sessions. So 5 need to be audio recorded. The other technical requirement here is that 10 sessions need to be with the same counselee. So, you know, oftentimes we'll have women that get certified that do a lot of counseling, crisis pregnancy counseling, which is incredible. We need so many more biblical counselors doing crisis pregnancy counseling. But a lot of times when you are counseling in that environment, you might see someone twice if you're lucky, three times if you're really lucky, that type of thing. Those can count, but we really do want to, the fellows want to see that someone can handle a longer case. So you can do some really good data gathering in those first few sessions. You're assigning really good homework, requiring good growth in those middle sessions, and then wrapping things up in a very faithful way towards the end. So one counselee, at least 10 sessions. You can have other shorter ones, that's fine, but the fellow wants to see kind of a longer extended counseling relationship. When you're in phase three as well, the case report form, it's online, it's under phase three, you could look at it even now. I even tell people, if you're doing any amount of counseling or discipleship now in your church, these case report forms can be helpful just to get used to filling them out. They ask really helpful questions of the counselor, kind of like, how is this case progressing? You know, what are some patterns you're seeing? That type of thing. Do that now because it helps you to get in the rhythm of doing it once you're in phase three and you're required to do it. And these are what the fellows use to kind of track all your counseling cases. So that's helpful to kind of be aware of there. So that's all three phases. I would say pay really careful attention to the frequently asked questions items online. A lot of the kind of hiccups I see of when people are in process and maybe they have to slow down a little bit and kind of go back and get some reading done could be corrected if you just pay attention to those FAQ items online. So that's very helpful. The other thing, I want to give you my email address. If you have questions or anything like that, even after today, after we do our Q&A, shoot me an email. I'd love to help you. That's my job, is to help anybody in process. And so I would love to just, even if you're like, I'm overwhelmed, pray for me, that's fine. I would love to pray for you. So shoot me an email and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions at all. And I'm gonna ask, does this session end at 5:30? Okay, we've got 14 minutes for Q&A. So I would love to help. Yeah, right here.
So is there any, so explain about the last phase of having somebody come in, a fellow come in.
Sure.
Is there a cost associated with that? Mm-hmm. Is there?
Yeah.
Are they physically present?
Great question. I'm so glad you asked that. So I'll answer this in two parts. So the question is, you know, what are the costs associated? And I'll actually talk about the cost for the whole process. And then, you know, is the fellow in the room with me? You know, how does that work? Great question. So the way phase three works is that you will be doing it. Most people do it long distance. Some people live near a fellow, or if you're at a seminary and there's a fellow there, that's very rare. I would say 95% of the people that complete the certification process, it's all long distance. And so what that looks like is that you will need, obviously, internet connection, an email. Some fellows like to do Skype calls. So Dr. Keith Palmer is a pastor actually here in the Dallas area. He does a lot of counseling with people in process overseas, and so he likes to do kind of Skype calls to just kind of see them. But definitely a phone for phone conferencing, an email address, and then a word processor on your computer for filling out those case report forms. So it's all done long distance. Most fellows want to meet once a week or twice a month. It depends on your counseling load. If you have a very heavy counseling load, they'll want to meet once a week. If it's a little lighter, it could be once every 2 weeks, once a month, something like that. And you'll set up those the sessions with your fellow. You'll send them all your case reports, typically 2 days before, so they have time to kind of review all the notes and that type of thing. So typically it's done all long distance. The fees and the costs associated with it, in phase one, all of the costs, really, it just depends. You know, if you're able to get books from a friend, there wouldn't be any cost there. If you have an ACBC counselor near you, you can observe. That would also save money. You wouldn't have to buy the observation, the streaming, you know, observation. I want to call them observation DVDs, but they're not. I'm struggling here. So that wouldn't cost anything. If you do buy the DVDs, I think they're around $120 for all of them, something like that. And then the basic training course, that cost varies. So it depends on, you know, does the center have to fly in their speakers? Do they have them on site? Different things can kind of, change the cost going up or down. So it varies. Phase two, the only cost there is the $100 application fee that we use to pay the grader. And then phase three is the bulk of the cost. It's $500 for the year, and you pay that directly to your supervising fellow. So we don't touch that. That's a transaction you do between your fellow. And it's $500 for the year. And I always like to tell people the entire process, I did the math, and it's at the most, it could be like $850, $900 at the very most. And that's cheaper than one class, even at a private college. So it's kind of helpful to keep that in mind, you know. And the whole process, it's about 2 years, is very normal. I think people who are working full-time jobs or moms who are working three-time jobs at home with kids, 2 years is very, very average to take. So that's a great question, though. Anyone else? Yeah, right here.
So I had a question about the exam question.
Sure.
So if you have a couple of questions that go over, is that okay? Like, there's one question that has defined something like five different things, and it's kind of hard to put that within the 1.5.
Sure. Yeah. So the question is, what if I go over on an answer? So I would encourage you to work really hard to keep it within the 1.5 page. The grader understands it is really hard to answer these extremely exhaustively. So on that question, if you are going to go over in a question, that would be the understandable one for sure. But try to just keep it as brief and succinct as possible. But I think if you go over a little bit, the graders, they understand it's hard, you know? Yeah. Question over here?
I'm already in the exam portion and I'm footnoting things. Mm-hmm. And so does the template have a standard format for the footnotes that you accept? Is that explained or
sure.
And is that considered part of the 1.5 page?
Great question. So no, the footnotes don't include those in the 1.5 pages, you know. You don't have to include those at all. So if you realize, okay, I just footnoted 2 inches here, that's fine. The grader will see that. But the format, it's not necessarily like the MLA or anything like that, technical. Basically, what we want to see is the title of the book and the last name of the author and the page number. So real simple, real straightforward. There is an example of that online. That's just real simple. But as long as the grader can see this is the book, this is the author, this is the page, great. If you're doing like an audio resource, let's say you found a breakout session from a conference 3 years ago online, you can use that, but just be sure to put the teacher's name, where you found it. If there's a web address, use that. I would encourage not to use websites. Use them sparingly, but sometimes that's the only place you can find the audio, you know, and then just the date you accessed it would be great. So it's a pretty straightforward footnote process, but do footnote everything. The only thing you don't have to footnote are scripture references. So don't write out the scripture verse, just do a parenthetical citation. So just briefly in parentheses wherever you're using that, and that'll be fine. Yes. Yeah, for Psalms, P.S. dot.
We have to do a period.
Oh, man, you are hardcore. That is so funny. That's awesome. Question over here. I think I saw a hand go up. Oh, okay, great. And question over here? Yeah.
I have two, maybe three. May I ask?
Sure, let's go for it. We've got 7 minutes, okay?
Okay, I'll try to be quick.
Okay.
I completed phase one last year mm-hmm. and began phase two this past spring. And I've been counseling with taking on the counseling load at my church mm-hmm. for the last several years, helping out our pastoral staff. This past spring, I had to set aside my studies because my counseling got so heavy. Mm. And I work full time also. So normally I get up around 3 or 4 in the morning, and that was my study time before I went to work. Now it's my prep for whoever I'm counseling that day
yes.
before I go to work.
Yeah.
Meet with them that evening.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is time schedule. Mm-hmm. Right now, if I understand what you're saying correctly, I completed phase one in the spring of for earlier this year, last year. Mm-hmm. So I have till 2021 to complete.
Yes. If your training was completed in 2017, you have until December 31st of 2021.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. So it buys you a little bit more time because you took it in the spring and we count it by the calendar year and not by the exact date. Yeah, but God bless you and all that counseling.
Well, we're going through a transition right now. January, I will be part-time paid on the staff. And that means that I'll be working less where I do work. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to dedicate some time there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, second question. This is the one I'm really struggling with. I live in East Texas out near Tyler.
Okay.
There's not an ACDC certified counselor fellow within 2 hours of where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared of this 50 sessions with an ACDC fellow.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm going to manage that if I have to drive 2 hours.
Yeah. That's a good question. So it actually can be done all long distance. So you can do your counseling in your area and then just a phone call with your fellow. You'll have about an hour that you'll talk on the phone or a video conference call. And so long distance supervision is about 95% of the individuals in
okay.
process. Yep, so that's not a problem at all. It's nice to have a fellow in your time zone.
Yeah.
And we've got plenty of fellows in your time zone. But time zones are long, so that's nice.
Yeah. Well, that was the one that I've really been sweating.
Sure, not a problem.
Beginning.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to get to one question back here, and then we'll come back.
I'm done.
Okay, no, that's okay.
We got it done.
Yeah, sure.
Is there any possibility that the questions of the exams are going to evolve or change anytime soon?
Good question. So, are the exam questions going to evolve or change anytime soon? You're probably aware they changed in 2014. Is that why you're asking?
And I'm asking, like, when is my deadline?
Yes. So we changed them in 2014 because the language was just a bit outdated, and there were no case studies on the counselor's exam. So we added case studies, updated some of the theological language. It was just a little bit archaic to kind of bring it up to speed. There are no plans to change those exams. Anytime anyone has a whiff of it, I'm like, you guys, we can't do that. We don't have any plans of changing any of those anytime soon. We have 4 minutes left. Question in the back.
Saga. I'm not a trained counselor, so the term observation obviously doesn't mean you guys sitting in with or watching through videos. So I'm taking notes and then reviewing it later.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's fine. Yeah, so phase three, the observation portion, really, well, so an observation, that's the language we actually use in phase one. So you're observing a counselor. Just to kind of watch them counsel. It's supervision in phase three, and that supervision happens typically from afar. Some seminaries, like I said, have count the fellows that can be there watching you, but a lot of times, 95% of the time, honestly, it's you filling out case reports, you having weekly phone calls. They do want those 5 recorded sessions, so they will be listening to you counsel, but that's on a recorded, that's a file. I think a question over here.
Very quick question.
Uh-huh. There are not any training centers in Canada yet, but if you want to start one, okay, we'd love that. My husband, actually. Just send us an email, and I will get you to the right place. So, any other questions? Yes.
I had stopped at the booth for CDCD, and they were talking about how they help with the exams part.
What training center is that?
CDCD.
Yes, I think that's Keith Palmer's training center,
okay.
Dr. Palmer. They have exam tracks, which are great. And they do a teaching track on each question, and they help you go through them. So that would be incredible. Pathway gives you some pointers, that type of thing. This is much more extensive.
Okay.
That would be really good.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Any other questions before we end here? Are we good? Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming.